I'd like to welcome everyone today on the Duties and Metrics Drafting Team call on Thursday, the 10th of January at 1400 UCC. On today's call, we have Cheryl Langdon Orr, Yauvi Atuhun, Eduardo Diaz, Alan Greenberg, and Tijani Benjema. Apologies noted from Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Holly Raich, Darlene Thompson, Fatima Cambronero, Sergio Salinas Porto, and Sintra Suknanan. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, and myself, Gisela Gruber. Also, Carlton Samuels has just joined the Adobe Connect room, so we will call him as well. And if I could just remind everyone to please state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Alan.
Thank you very much. This should be a quick call because we don't. Most of what we're doing is just ratifying changes we've already decided on, but there's a couple of things we need to look at. A quick question for us. Heidi, you just put a note in the chat saying the transcript will be available in 48 hours. Is that something new in place? Because in general, our transcripts have been much later than that.
Yes, this is Heidi. Yes, Ellen, that is something new because we really do not have the bandwidth to have all staff on all working group calls taking minutes. So we're just going to be doing this, and Christina has said that she will be able to do this within 48 hours.
That's fantastic.
Thanks.
All right. What I'd like to do is go through the red line changes and just note them in most cases. If anyone has a problem with them or if I've remembered or got the details wrong, please speak up. And then there's a number of questions at the end that we need to address. They're not major, but we need to finalize them. And lastly, of course, if there's anything that anyone else has noticed is missing or on reading it through, they believe that we made a bad decision somewhere along the way, that's what I'd like to cover. I have another meeting at the end of the hour, which I can be late for if necessary, but I'd prefer to get off before then, and hopefully we'll be off well before then. The first semi-substantive change is in 1.8, and that's we struggled, if you remember, for what to call the generic other meeting. The term work group is used and defined, and we ended up coming up with work teams, an expression that we hadn't used in general. So we're using that as the generic description of a subcommittee, a committee, a work group, a drafting team, or whatever. Don't think that is particularly controversial. 2.4, and there's a similar section somewhere else, is implementing Tijani, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Alan. The work team is one kind of group. There is the work team, there is the working group, there is the subcommittee, etc. So perhaps we need to use a generic term to mean all of those groups.
That is what we define work team as.
As a generic, yes.
Because we hadn't actually used any specific group in our recent history called a work team. So the work team is what we're calling the generic version of you know, committee, subcommittee, drafting team, working group. So we in the future need to be careful not to call things work teams so that we don't have a conflict. But work team is the generic version that we decided on.
Okay, if you want, but we used work team for the task force, if you remember, Cheryl. We had four work teams.
Well, we either need to promise not to do that again, or we need to come up with a different term. Mm. And I'm not sure it's worth agonizing over. If someone has a suggestion for yet another one, it's an easy global change to make.
Alan, if I may?
Sure, go ahead.
I was having difficulty getting my hand up thing. I'm going to have to revert to an actual mouse instead of my touchpad. Cheryl, for the transcript record, I hear what you're saying, Tijani, and I made a note that we haven't used work team as descriptor formally, at least. We have used, as you rightly pointed out, work team as a subunit of a subunit of a formally convened activity. And I think if we decide on work team as an okay generic term, as Alan said, just avoiding the use of that in the future would be fine. That said, I suppose you'd put a fair amount of time, Alan, into coming up with a generic. Was there anything else on your shortlist is all I wanted to ask.
I don't remember that. It came out of some meeting, and I honestly don't remember who suggested it. For all I know, it was to Johnny. I really don't remember who came up with the suggestion, but no one could think of an objection at that point.
Alan, I never suggested work team.
Okay. Then,
name, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember, and I don't intend to go back and listen to 12 hours of calls to find out who. We could probably scan the, if we really cared, we could scan it. In any case, I have no strong affection for the term, but we need some term there.
Yes.
And if it's not work team, then I ask, not necessarily on this call, but very soon afterwards, if someone has a better suggestion for an expression which conveys the meaning that we want and is not something we've used before, then feel free to make a suggestion. As I said, it can be changed easily. I don't think we want to waste a lot of time on it here trying to invent words. But if someone has a better one that will inherently have a meaning to people when they read it, I'm happy to change that. I have no strong ties with this one. So let's put that on the on an action item for everyone. The action item specifically, is there a better term than work team for the generic meeting or working for the generic working team? 2.4 is the next section that had a change in it, and that was in response to Jani's suggestion to replace our rather convoluted rules about the chair having a two-year term if it was possible but not necessarily, and simply said that the chair is elected for one year, and if the chair is still able and willing to serve, the chair serves the second year automatically without any formal action of the ALAC. And I think I've covered that properly here and then later on in Section 6.2. So again, if anyone thinks that the wording is wrong, then we need to clarify it. But the intent was just to implement, was not to change the impact of the rules, but to change how they were expressed. And I think everyone agreed that was a good thought from Tijani. No hands. Next one is 2.8. And I can't scroll anymore. I don't know if it's my computer that's frozen. My computer is completely frozen. Everything isn't working. That's delightful. All right. If someone can tell me what... All right. I've got my change log, so I think I know what it was. 2.8.2 is where we changed... the words that the chair doesn't verify that the rules are followed but upholds the rules.
That's 283.
283, okay. My change log said 282, but wherever it is. Again, that was the suggestion of someone, and I think that came out of the meeting that we held in Toronto, and I think that was agreed to by all.
Yeah, he has his hand up.
Yalvi, go ahead. Not on my screen. Oh,
thank you.
I'm frozen, though.
I'm sorry. Yalvi speaking. I'm sorry. I would like to go back. In 1.10, there's a mention of more fully discussed in the adjunct document. This document.
Document.
We are thinking to prepare.
No, there's a set of documents. Well, go ahead, Alan. I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you. If anyone else has a hand up, please tell me, because my screens are completely frozen for some reason. We have a number of documents that are referred to in the rules of procedure, And some time ago, we decided to call them adjunct documents. All this change did is put that title in. In this case, it's the position description, which is slightly outdated and needs to be replaced before we approve the new rules, and the title is changing slightly. But the change here only added the title describing the document.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a question. Alan, this is Eduardo.
Yes,
in relation to the adjunct documents, are we going, this group, are we going to look at those documents too?
This group is not going to, unless this group really wants to. I can certainly pass, I was going to draft, the intent was to change as little as possible in the document to make it conform and get the ALAC to approve that. I'm certainly willing to have that done by this group. I hope we won't need a teleconference for it. But if it's controversial enough, we can certainly hold one. So yes, I was planning to draft the changes. If anyone else would like to volunteer, that's fine. And again, not to try to make it perfect, but make it at least change the title. And I think the difference was we were not covering non-liaison appointees in that document. And we need to add that concept.
Okay, thank you.
It needs to be approved before the rules are approved, but I wasn't expecting an awful lot of work. We may well refine it afterwards, but I wasn't trying to put the full refining of it in the critical path.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions on there, or do we go to 2.8? That was just a wording change of upholds instead of verifies. And again, that was a suggestion made by someone. No hands? Okay. 2.10, and there's a number of other related changes later on that all say we are not going to force the chair position on someone. So the chair has to be willing to serve either for a second term or for if the chair isn't available and someone else is identified as a replacement chair temporarily. So I've added the term willing to serve in all cases. Any questions about that? I'll call out because I can't see hands.
No, good.
No? Okay. The next substantive change, I believe, was in 5.1. Include the possibility of a non-liaison appointee not representing or acting on behalf of the ALAC. That's correct. When we appoint people to groups such as the review teams, and there's probably other examples, that person is not representing the ALAC. They're not feeding information back necessarily and asking for guidance. We are trusting that person to represent the interests of the ALAC, and maybe adding the interests of the ALAC instead of the interests is better than what I have right now. How do people feel about that? Again, I can't see what I have right now.
Cheryl here, Alan.
Yeah.
I think that's an excellent idea, and I did think that was terminology that you were starting to bring in earlier on in our meetings anyway.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go through it and where appropriate put that in if there's no problems. And that was 5.1, but maybe other places.
Mm-hmm.
Interests of the ALAC. Okay. Or interests of at large, probably, because it's not necessarily representing the ALAC.
Sorry, Cheryl here is about to spit a dummy.
No.
I would not just say at large. There is times when a sector of at large may be quite different or even dipolarly viewed on another sector of at large. ALAC has to make sense of all of this diversity. I'd be comfortable with ALAC and at large, but not without ALAC specifically being named. These are ALAC appointments.
Yes.
And they need to represent primarily the interests of the ALAC and act in the best interest of at large.
How about if I put words act in what they believe the best interests of?
No.
At large.
Or ALAC or at large in that case.
ALAC.
See, belief is, Cheryl again, belief is fuzzy. I have strong and somewhat painful memories of a highly appointed liaison who probably felt that what they were doing was in the best interest. It was diametrically opposed to the best interest of the ALAC, but they probably felt that it was in the best interest of their view of what at large needed. I wouldn't want to see that.
But isn't that what we're doing with that kind of appointee? Now, we sometimes have the right to withdraw, depending on the terms of the appointment.
It's the belief, I think they need to be, it has to be demonstrably in the best interests of ALAC and, you know, add in at large. But I don't think, it's not just up to their belief. The ALAC has to agree that it's in their best interests as well.
But what's the process to do that? If it's something like the ATRT, or perhaps a group which doesn't even publish its minutes, you know, or what mm-hmm. it's doing until the end. I mean, mm-hmm. I might have disagreed with you on some of the things on ATRT, and I did in fact. But
yes.
You believe they were in the best interests of ALAC and at large, and ICANN.
Hang on, all right, Alan. Let me see if I can parse this a little bit for you, Cheryl. Again. There's a difference between having the proof of my belief it is in the best interest of and acting in the best interest of.
Yes.
It's the belief, my belief as the appointee,
mm-hmm.
I would like to have with separated, like not actually in there. I mean, obviously, if you're an appointment and you're doing the job properly, you should believe that you're doing it, but I don't think that should be the test. I think the test should be...
Can it be the test?
If it can be proven that it was not in the best interest, well then, you know, you get the wrist slap and you can, you know, get hauled out of it if needs be.
We already do have words somewhere in the same similar area that say that all yep. such appointees have an
yes.
obligation to try to extract the directions where possible.
Wherever possible, but you know, you've often got to just fly by the seat of your pants.
Okay, I'm working a bit blind. Let me try something there,
yeah.
And I'll trust you to look at it carefully.
Cheryl again, while Alan is rebooting the equipment, my only concern is inserting the onus of the individual representative's belief. I think it needs to be demonstrably that you are acting
yeah.
in the best interest. That's all. Carlton's got his hand up, so I guess while Alan's rebooting, over to you, Carlton.
Thank you, Cheryl. Carlton, for the record, I'm supporting you on this. I think it ought to be in the, not. We can't leave it to the belief of the appointee. It must be demonstrable, and so the text should read, in the best interest of the ALAC. In this case, it's the ALAC that makes the appointment, and it's the ALAC's position that should be carried.
To the extent the person, you know, to the extent the ALAC has expressed any...
Absolutely.
Any wishes.
Wishes, yes.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Which, as Cheryl knows, in many of these cases, that's not something practical or possible.
That's true,
yeah.
But there should be
Alan.
A sense that this
yeah.
would be the ALAC's position. So it's the ALAC's position that should be divined, if you want to use that term.
Okay.
Not the...
Yeah, just on that, Carlton, Cheryl here, and there are times, and this is probably something that is going to affect some liaisons more than others, but there are times that you are privy to some of the sub-politics, for example.
Yes.
And it may indeed be simply not in the best interest of the ALAC to say or do something in particular.
Absolutely.
Or to not say or do something in particular.
Sits on your hand.
Whilst one may have to come back to the ALAC and say, I'm sorry I cannot give you the details, but trust me, it was in the best interest of the ALAC to not make that statement or to make that statement, so be it. But I don't think it needs to be tied, as I thought Alan was almost heading to, that there's a specific, you can see it in some form of resolution, discussion, minute, meeting, note or otherwise. You just occasionally have to fly by the seat of the pants, and if ALAC calls you up for it, you need to be able to justify it.
I would say, judging my experience as a formal liaison, more than just occasionally.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And as you well know, in fact, it's possibly more likely in ESSAC or CCNSO, there are times when you just cannot tell the ALAC why they should be ill-advised to say or do something. You just can say to them, you are ill-advised to say or do that.
Yeah, and you'll find, you know, I've done it on a regular basis, you know, citing, you know, the politics of the situation is such that we really shouldn't say such and such.
Exactly.
I did it just the other day, commenting on, for those who were following, a suggestion Evan made of,
yes.
Of you know, saying that on the NGO and at Ingo thing that we say this is advice, not our belief, and I thought that was really ill-advised.
And I think what Carlton's proposal there in words and the demonstrability allows that much wriggle room. Liaisons and representatives, everything with the exception of very, very few appointments, everything they say or do can be taken down and will be held against them. So, you know, they should know that.
All right. Carlton, can you echo again what your words were then?
Well, I said that it was the ALAC's interest that they should defend and support, and there must be some evidence that they have the ALAC interest at all.
How about the wording of what they understand the interest of the ALAC to be, or something like that?
Yeah.
Cheryl, is that any better?
What we want to do is lead with what the ALAC's interest is, not what the my objection was to the looking at what the appointee's interest was. I don't want that in there at all.
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone suggested that.
Yeah. The belief part, if as long as you've got none of this, you know, linking of beliefs, because beliefs are fuzzy things at the best of times, I actually think acting in the best interest of the ALAC is as solid as it gets. I really do.
Okay, fine.
And you can say in the, you know, under 2.8.6 and things, you sort of said represent the ALAC and at large. You could therefore add act in the best interest of ALAC and in the best interest of the at-large community.
Mm. You see the distinction she made there?
No, I'm just trying to capture it, sorry.
Oh.
Okay. Give me a go on that, and hopefully I'll come up with something that makes some sense. When I trust
I trust you all to
hold me to it.
But it's important. I know it feels a bit pedantry, but it really is important. Thanks for doing that.
Yes, it is.
Okay, and let me now try to get back. My computer's back up. Let me. If I can get to the right page quickly enough, or someone else want to tell me what the next section is while my computer's working, or not working as the case may be.
You've done all the 2.10s.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to scroll, and my computer's now decided to... there we go, finally got to scroll back.
You have 2.10.3.
4.5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hold on.
There's nothing substantial now to 5.1.
I'm just pulling up.
You just did 5.1, so it's 6. 6.2.
Okay, give me a couple of seconds. Something on my computer is not working very well, and I don't know what it is. It is downloading. It is got. It is here.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, sir. You found your way, Alan?
I'm almost... 5.1 is... okay.
Yeah.
You just did 5.1.
Okay. 6.2.
Yeah.
That's another incarnation of the covering the second year of the chair.
Right.
I hope I got it right. 6.3 is one of the people have to be willing to serve.
Yes.
7.8 was just removing a comment. Ah, 7.9 is the next substantive one. The wording said that any such, this is actions the chair may take to remediate problems, is any such action must be done with due consideration to cultural differences throughout at large and to the extent possible in a discreet and sensitive manner. The suggestion from the, and I think it was generally agreed to, in a Toronto meeting was to remove that last phrase in a discreet and sensitive manner. I'm not sure that to extent possible makes any sense when it's left without the modifier.
Right.
So how do people feel? Is this still something that we want to to keep the change, or we want to change it yet again? Again, I'm not in Adobe yet. I'm getting there.
Yes. Alan, Cheryl here, can you refresh my memory as to why the in a discreet and sensitive manner was deleted?
I don't know. Someone suggested it. I think it might have been Fatimata. I'm not 100% sure. And there seemed to be general agreement around the table that, yes, we should do that. I didn't feel very strongly about it, but I thought the wording was useful to say we should try to be conscious of issues, but we can't always necessarily do it. I don't have any more input than that. Is there anyone else on the call who recalls it?
Good morning. I'm
Tijani, maybe?
I don't have a problem with it. I just wondered why. If it was just a simple matter, Cheryl again, if it's just a simple matter of having less words in it, well, then, yes, sure, fine. It's probably gilding the lily, I suppose, because due consideration to cultural differences throughout at large should be enough, I guess, to have a higher enough standard of behaviour. I'm not going to die in the ditch over it. I was just curious as to why.
I think if the phrase is left off, then the sentence needs a little bit of rework. The to extent possible needs to be earlier in the sentence, modifying the whole thing, I think.
It would be right after cultural differences, you'd write to the extent possible throughout, at large.
Okay, sorry. How do people feel? Do we really want to scrap that sentence, or do we want to keep it? Or that phrase.
Alan?
Yes, Tijani, go ahead.
Yes, I think that the meaning of this phrase is very well detailed elsewhere. I don't remember why we asked to remove it, but I think it is not a loss, since the meaning is well explained elsewhere.
Okay. All right, I certainly accept that. I remember the intent of why it was added was there are going to be situations where we cannot be, you know, the cultural sensitivity is going to have to be violated, and that was simply serving notice that there may be such cases.
As I said, it is very well explained elsewhere, the cultural diversity, the cultural sensitivity.
Okay, let's hold on while I sign on to Adobe.
Carlton, your hand's still up. Is that my screen stuck, or are you...
I think it's. I have to take it down there. Yeah, thanks.
Okay, so Tijani, you're saying with due consideration does not imply we're always going to honor it and we can just leave the phrase out without any problem. Did I capture what you are saying correctly?
What I said exactly is that the meaning of this phrase is very well explained in another paragraph in this text.
Ah.
So it is not a harm to remove it.
Okay, what other paragraph is it explained in, if you can point me to it?
I will check. Okay. Moment, please.
My own feeling is, if it's not previous, then it would be good for you to have it. But I would strike the last part, and I would just take the in due consideration and put it right after cultural differences, and the sentence with a period at the end at large.
Must be done to the extent possible with due consideration.
Yes.
Something like that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, let's go on to the next one then.
Seven, twelve, and thirteen.
Well, 12 is just the number.
Number, right? And 13 is thirteen full of details. And you say what the adjunct documents are?
Yeah, and I put the word may in, which says this. The document is not in the critical path to getting the rules proposed. I think this is one which is going to be more substantive and is going to have some significant debate associated with it. And I would prefer not to put that in the critical path, which is why I said may.
Makes sense to me.
Anyone have any problems with that? I don't see a hand.
This is Eduardo.
Yes, go ahead.
So when you say may, does that mean that it may be done or it may not be done, right?
That's correct. I mean, so, what I'm saying is if there is a document, it's described, but the document may not exist. That seemed to be the best way to phrase that. Or I could say would be described, you know, when and if the ALAC approves such a document.
Yes, that works. That works, yeah.
That would work. That's better. Because if I go to the previous adjunct document that you said that it needs to be approved before the ROP is approved, then this here, you know, so this last change will do it.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you.
And I think that was the last formal change.
Alan?
Yes, go ahead, Tijani.
So the cultural difference is well expressed in 7.9, the same paragraph, just before the end of the paragraph. So it says action must be done with due consideration to cultural difference.
Okay, but the gist of the discussion was the last phrase was originally inserted, the one in a discreet and sensitive manner, to the extent possible in a discreet and sensitive manner, it implied that sometimes we might not be able to do that. You know, there may be rules saying at some point it has to be made where the other ALAC people have to be formally alerted to something. So I think what we decided is to move the extent possible to before due consideration.
Okay.
And then leaving the words discreet and sensitive manner out with the understanding that essentially we may not always be allowed to be sensitive. And that's the reality of the world.
Yes.
Okay. I think we're covered there.
Good.
Thank you, Tijani. There's a couple of questions, and it's all on nomenclature. If you remember, in the current rules, we use the term delegate that is defined in a convoluted way to imply ALAC member. At one point, we decided to define member as being the ALAC member and only use the term member. since we have members of other things mentioned in the document, I found when I was reading it that using the term ALAC member each time made the document flow better and easier to understand. There's no confusion about which member are we talking about. So my preference is to leave the is every time there's a reference to it to use the expression ALAC member instead of just member. Does anyone have any strong feelings against that? I see a number of tick marks.
Cheryl, right. Dear Alan, and
yeah.
I'm still agreeing with you, but I did note you'd also capitalized, which I agree with, of course.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wondering if, for example, I can't think of another time when we would need to capitalize the term member for our purposes, other than if they were an appointment to, for example, the ESSAC is on acts as a member, capital M, of the ESSAC.
Well,
I think that would be all right, wouldn't it?
Yeah. The other time is the one we're going to discuss next, actually.
Okay.
But I said, you know, in a legalistic sense, if we define member unmodified as being the ALAC member, it's legally correct, mm-hmm. but it flows better,
yeah.
I think, if we use the term ALAC. So, and that's what I've done consistently, I think, in the document right now, and my proposal is to keep it like that. And I haven't heard any objections. Tijani, your hand is up.
Yes, Alan. If you have finished, I have other remarks on the text, if you don't mind.
No, I have one or two other items, and then we'll go on to you then.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, the next one is the ALAC leadership team member. And that one, the two options are ALT member or ALTM.
Oh, Lord.
The fact that ALAC and ALT start with the same two letters makes it just a little bit confusing.
It does.
I like the ALT member.
Yep.
Me too.
Okay.
We're not that hard done by for time that we can't put, four more letters into our life.
Yeah. Oh. So keep it ALT member.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so we do not have a definition ALTM. All right. I think that is all that we needed to discuss at this point. So we're over to Tijani now with other issues.
Okay, thank you. 1.3, the last part of this paragraph is not necessary since we are talking about ALAC members' requirements and responsibility. You say in the last part, certain positions and responsibilities may require additional information. So we are not in other position. We are only on the position of ALAC members.
ALAC members.
Cheryl here.
No.
I thought, Tijani, that was, for example, when an ALAC member is given another role,
yes.
That we would have to do additional things in our SOIs as required.
I think both of you are right, if that can be possible. I would think the definition of SOI should go into the meetings and administration.
Fair enough.
Okay.
And I'll clean it up so it's correct at that point. And that's the place where it says there's a standard format. It may require additions depending on the specific needs for the position.
Okay, okay. So you're going to take it there. That's fine. That's fine. But I think Cheryl is right. You have to have an extension for some things.
Yes, but if in this section we just say you have to submit an SOI, what the
right.
SOI must contain is implied, is discussed more fully in the management and administration.
I agree with you, yes, as long as you have that there.
Yeah, no, the content still is there, but it doesn't necessarily have to be in this section.
Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah. Okay.
That will make sense.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
thank you, Suzanne. Good point.
Yavi, yeah,
oh, Yavi, go ahead.
Thank you. Yavi speaking. For those who are in Adobe, for the action item, when we are discussing about work team, I wanted to suggest working team or to ask for you Anglophone people, what is the difference between working team and work team? Because I wanted to suggest working team. So in the action item, it is written working team, but in the document it's the work team. So I just want us to it's corrected. So my point is corrected in the action item. It's corrected back to work team. Thank you.
Okay, hold on.
Sorry, I thought that was with reference to what we were discussing, Tijani. That's why I mentioned Yavi's arms going up. My apologies.
All right. Let's just cover it quickly, though. Does anyone point me where does the work team come up?
Where was 1.8.
Okay, it's 1.8. Okay, we defined the term work team. Oh, you're saying that in the action item it said working.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and when we were there, I was thinking about suggesting working team, and then the action item, it was mentioned working team. It's back to work team now. It's okay.
Okay. I don't care which it is. In terms of work group, by the way, people interchangeably use working group and work group. I don't know what the real word is.
The infinitive.
As long as we're consistent, I don't much care which it is. I like work instead of working. Tijani, back to you.
Yes, thank you. 1.4, the last mention of the where practical. I think that those who will be absent have to make an advance notice. And if they don't, if they are not able to do so, they have to demonstrate that they are not able to do so. If you push where practical, that means that if it is not practical for me, I will not make it.
I think that was where practical, give advance notice was what that was trying to say.
Yeah,
it was not attend where practical, but give advance notice where practical.
It covers everything.
When you put where practical, it is not compulsory. It's optional. It's optional.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
It still is going to be.
Carlton, Cheryl first, please.
Just Cheryl for the record. I think because it's saying provide advance notice of planned absence. There is a reasonable risk where a planned absence can be still in fairly short order, or for whatever reason you may not be able to give advance notice of it. I don't have a problem with the where practical staying there, Tijani. I don't believe it gives the person a out. I think you're believing it gives them an out to not give advance notice. They still have to give notice prior to the absence or as close to the absence occurring as possible, but that doesn't release them from that duty. But if it's a planned absence, I know I'm going to be in Europe for 6 months, you know, from the 3rd of November, then as I book my tickets, I tell you I'm going to be in Europe for 6 months from the 3rd of November. If I get called into a covert operation with my military service, I probably know about the absence, but I'm certainly not going to be giving you notice of it.
And if you were hit by a truck, you're not likely to give notice.
I wouldn't be planning
nor might you have access to a computer to do so.
Yes, I probably wouldn't be planning that as an accident.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with it. To the extent that it gives someone an out, I think that's what, you know, that's what the section on remediation is about.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, if you were around and about and sending other email, but you didn't bother telling us, there's not much we can do about it, other than say, don't do that again.
Mm.
And remember, of course, if you're not attending meetings, that does show up on the metrics.
Yeah.
So I don't feel very strongly of, I guess I feel strongly that I don't want to remove it because I don't want to make someone commit an infraction because, you know, the realities of life get in the way.
Yeah.
I want to acknowledge that. So, Tijani, unless you feel very strongly about it, I think I'd prefer to leave that there.
No problem. No
okay.
problem, Alan.
What other items do you have?
May I continue?
Yes, please.
286.
Yeah.
You mentioned it twice, Alak, here. So, in the third line, you say to consult with the Alak members, comma, the ATL and the Alak, and or other segments.
That was
twice here.
Yeah, that was intentional, and we did discuss that a bit, because there is a substantive difference in between consulting the ALAC and consulting individual ALAC members, and it said as appropriate. So that was intentional, that there are two different concepts. One is formally putting something before the ALAC, and the other is talking to selected ALAC members, you know, based on whatever the issue is. You know, Olivier will on occasion consult me about something because it's GNSO related, or I'm, you know, or I'm sitting on a working group or something like that, and he does not think it's necessary to consult the ALAC. Other times, it is the ALAC that should be consulted as the group. So the wording there was intentional.
Okay. 288.
Okay.
Here there is, I think it's a language problem, because you say facilitates and taking the second line. So I would say facilitates and take, and takes.
Appropriate. Ah, okay, I got it. That's
okay.
2.8.8. It's always nice when someone whose third language is English corrects the our grammar mistakes. Thank you.
Okay. Moment. Yes.
There's a physiological reason for that. I can bore you with one day, Alan.
Okay, one day.
So, 7.3, Alan.
Oh, now
okay.
Take me a while to scroll to there. Hang on.
I realize I do have a few more points that I had forgotten to mention, but we'll go through with Tijani first. 7.3, yes.
Yep.
7.3. Here you are mentioning the funding of ALAC to the at-large members, etc.
Yep.
I don't think in the rules we need to mention that. We need to say what must be done, what must not be done. But we will not say we are getting funding, so we need to justify this funding. I don't think it is a good thing, in my point of view. So I will. My proposal is to remove the first part and start the 7.3 by all ALAC members must make regular and significant contribution to the ALAC at large and IECAN.
How do others feel about that?
Actually, I go along with that.
I Cheryl here. I don't have a problem with that edit. I think what is lost of that, though, that the part that gets deleted needs to be somewhere in an adjunct document. You know, somewhere in some form of care and feeding of the ALAC. We need to remind the ALAC that they are in a very rare and, in some cases, vulnerable position because of the significant funding from ICANN.
Yeah, I guess I tend to agree that I think when we put it there, I don't remember how much discussion there was. There was some, however. When we put it there, there was the knowledge that it wasn't really a rule, but it's something that we needed to reinforce in a section where there, in the past anyway, people had strenuously objected to the concept.
Well, I don't particularly like it here. I'd go to Johnny, especially when it makes no mention of the contribution of the member. I am supporting Tajani's request to remove it. And it's a good catch because I didn't see it. I would have strenuously objected to it because it doesn't couple this input from ICANN with the input that I make, which has a value.
Yes.
Wherever I see anything about ICANN spending, I from now on, I make it, declare it, I want to see that coupled with a recognition of my input.
Yes, this is one side, Carl. There is another side. I don't think an official rule we can mention such things.
I agree.
In official rules we say what must be done, what must not be done, what must be avoided, etc. But we will not say because of the we get funding, we need to justify this funding.
No. I agree with you, Tajani. I'm strongly agree with Tajani.
Where does it go? Because it's an important concept.
It put it in a document if ever you want it, some other what you call the adjunct document, and I would respectfully suggest that wherever that goes, it must be coupled to a clause that recognizes my input, which has that value. And I use my deliberately.
All right. I can live with that. Any problems with that? Eduardo, you have your hand up. And Yelvi.
It was, I think, can put it somewhere else because, the way I see it is that there's a point here, what is the definition of regular and significant contribution? I'm getting paid to go there and just be there? It looks like that's what my regular and significant contribution is, the way it reads now. So I agree with Tijani that maybe just all our members making regular and significant contributions. Again, this line is part of a performance on metrics. So are we saying that, how are we going to measure if you're doing regular and significant contributions?
Well, the real issue that it's addressing is situations which unfortunately we have had far more than one of, where we had people who are appointed to the ALAC and done virtually nothing and feel they should not be obliged to do any more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I think that was the... I think that was the discussion that we had. Sorry.
And I think that his membership of ALAC member has to be discussed and perhaps... We should remove his membership, but we should not say because he is receiving money he must do that. We say because he is not doing the work he must not be member of ALAC.
Well, clearly implementing that has been problematic in the past. All right, Ayobi, you're next, and then Cheryl.
He's disconnected.
All right. Then, Cheryl, you're up.
It was a minor point, one that just flipped through my filing system that I occasionally refer to as a brain. There is a precedent, of course, should we ever need to use that when you were talking to Jani. Removal of a member may be a point, perhaps an end point. But there is a, before that point, very sharp and effective tool that's been used as a result of a very early, and I am going back a fair bit in the annals of ICANN, but there was a ombudsman finding that ensured that someone who was serving on a particular committee level had to repay the funded travel expenditure, hotel fees and per diem that they were given, because it was proven that they did not attend the meetings that they were there to attend, that they went to a meeting and indeed were off doing other business and social activities. So precedent is already set within ICANN for cold hard cash. In other words, not only return what you have had ICANN spend on you, but have the very public embarrassment of it being in the Ombudsman's reporting.
Well, except
so
the person
the precedent
was named.
Is there.
Cheryl, you sound like you're arguing to keep the wording in.
No, I'm not arguing to keep the wording in at all. I'm saying that we have an enormous amount of power if someone is perceived to be rorting under their performance, not performing, and indeed not performing during an activity that ICANN has put cold hard cash into getting them there to do. I don't think it needs to be written in the rules if we can show that they have not contributed as would be expected of a reasonable member of the ALAC to do, then, you know, there's plenty of armoury in the toolbox.
Yeah, no, but, Cheryl, the wording wasn't there to give us the tools to withdraw funding. The wording was there to remind people why we consider contributions important.
I understand that. I would still argue, and sorry, more to the point, agree that it may as well go, and I agree
fine.
With Tajani's terms.
And anyone else want to discuss this, or at this point it's gone? Okay. We're past the hour, by the way, so, and I have a couple of items to discuss, but Tajani, what else do you have?
Yes, 7.7.
Yes?
You say the ALAC may set thresholds. Can we put in a rule a possibility, may or may not? If it is may or may not, we don't put the point at all. If it is must or should, we have to put it. If it is avoid, should avoid, we have to put it. But may, it doesn't have any sense to have an item that says you may or you may not.
The reason that was worded that way, just to give you the history, is again to say that we wanted to be able to approve these rules even though we have not gotten around to setting what the metrics are. The intent certainly was to set metrics, but understanding they may not be set in sufficient time to approve the rules. There was no waffling on whether we intend to set metrics or not. So if someone can suggest a better way of expressing it, I'm happy.
Cheryl
go ahead.
I just indicated perhaps saying the ALAC is empowered to set thresholds.
Okay.
Because we then go on and say the chair is empowered. So just by using words that are already used elsewhere in 7 seems to make reasonable sense to me. So 7.7 could read the ALAC is empowered to set thresholds.
Okay.
And then later in 7.9 it says the chair is empowered to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'm happy with that. Tajani, are you okay with us?
Yes.
Thank you. Next.
Okay. The last point is 7.10.5.
Okay.
Speaking about the removal of the member.
Yes.
You said it clearly, if it is appointed by the RALO, it's clear the RALO may appoint another one instead of him. But if it is appointed by the NOMCOM, how to replace it? How to replace him?
Which one is this now, Tajani?
7.10.5.
Oh.
All right, but where are you citing the replacement part?
We have to put something to say how to replace it, how to replace him. We are giving here a tool to remove a member.
Right, and at that point there would be a vacancy, and the RALO or the NOMCOM would fill the vacancy according to their normal rules.
Yeah, we don't have to say about facing them. Actually, no, you don't. I don't think
okay,
you have to.
Carlton, one at a time. Tijani's talking. Tijani, go ahead.
I said that I remember that when we asked the NOMCOM to tell us if they can appoint another one, they say no, we cannot do the, so.
The NOMCOM, I have. Are we talking they can't replace them in the middle of a term, or they cannot replace?
No, replace in the middle of the term.
They will replace in the middle of a term, but on their schedule. If you remember, Mark Rothenberg was replaced by the NOMCOM.
That's right. That's how we got another useless article.
Yeah, they may or may not do it on a schedule that we're happy with, and if we remove someone at the wrong time, we're doing it with the understanding there may be a vacancy for some period of time.
Tijani, Cheryl here, I think what you're asking for is another rule that refers to casual vacancy, and such casual vacancy should be filled in a manner which fits with the established RALO or NOMCOM appointments process.
Exactly.
But I don't think it necessarily fits in 7.10.5. It can fit somewhere in 7, but I wouldn't link it with the removal. I just think it probably needs to exist.
Yeah, I'm not sure it fits under metrics, but it's a good point. Well, I'll try to find a place to add that.
Thank you, Alan.
Okay, thank you, Tijani. It's good to have someone reading it with the care that you're putting into it. I appreciate it. Two issues that we didn't talk about, and let me quickly raise them. One is one of language and semantics. As I was writing this, or as I was redrafting sentences, I found I was in an awkward position a number of times because I was referring to the ALAC leadership team as supporting the chair or advising the chair, and the wording has different wording in different places, but the chair is part of the ALAC leadership team.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really have the whole ALAC leadership team advising the chair because the chair is one of the members. And I ended up saying we don't need to think about that level of grammar, and people will understand what it means. Is anyone upset by that? It fits in when we're talking about responsibilities of the ALAC leadership team, which is in Section 3. The 3.1, the ALAC leadership team supports and collaborates with the chair in the overall administration and management of ALAC. Now, technically, that's a little bit awkward because the chair is part of the ALAC leadership team. I was happy to just leave it like that, but I guess I wanted to make the issue public and make sure no one is very upset over it. To try to come up with a sentence that was semantically exactly correct was very awkward. And I didn't want to have to invent a new word for the other four people on the leadership team. Does anyone feel strongly about this? Eduardo?
I would just leave it the way it is. I understand what you're saying, but it's implied there. Otherwise, this document is going to be all convoluted.
Okay. I was. That's what I thought also. On it. If everyone's happy with that, we'll just leave it.
Cheryl here.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
The only way I could see very quickly, as a not much of a thought, just a little thought, on tweaking it, was if you were to say under 3.1, the members of the ALAC leadership team support and collaborate with the chair, because then it sort of, it just gives it, it doesn't set the chair.
Well,
the
chair is one of the members, though.
Yes, I know, but members of the ALAC leadership team. As I say, it was just a a sort of a fuzzy thing, but you know, that's the only way I could see tweaking it. Other than that, leave it alone.
Okay, fine. I'll try out both sentences and see which reads better. Okay, the other one is something that we forgot completely. It's mentioned in one of the comments in the sandbox. Is if you remember in the current rules, there is a long list of sins, of things you must and must not do. And we decided that that long list did not belong in the rules of procedure, but that there should be a short list summarizing them that was never written. And I'm just alerting you to the fact, and I will draft something and put it out to the list. And if people, you know, think I'm working at the wrong level, then, you know, please comment. The details will be filled out in the performance and metrics document.
Yeah,
but,
I was going to say, it doesn't live in here.
But we do need a placeholder to summarize the concept.
Sure.
And I will do that, and please, you know, if you don't like what I do, please comment on it. At this point, I don't think we need another meeting unless issues come up that cannot be addressed over email. If everyone's happy with that, we can adjourn, and we don't need to schedule another meeting.
Terrific.
That's good.
I thank you all for your contributions. And I thank you again for reading the final text, the next draft. I won't be so arrogant as to say it's the final. Comes out, and let's try to get this done. The target, I believe, was to get ALAC approval by the end of February. Cheryl, I think that was what you were
during February is the plan. That's
and
right.
And that really means perhaps a final discussion at the ALAC meeting in February, and voting probably early March or something like that, if we want to allow allow the ALAC meeting. No?
Sure. Okay. I'm growling.
I understand. I'm trying to figure the logistics of we're not likely to have all the groups finalized text for the January meeting. We could have a special meeting of the ALAC to discuss this prior to an online approval. That's probably the best thing to aim at.
I would be strongly encouraging that.
Yeah. No. Okay. Sorry, I'm thinking out loud here.
Mrs. Go ahead. Is that the action item?
Yeah, it's an action item. I don't think we can. Sorry, Cheryl.
I would think it's something you should raise with Olivier in the XCOM, Heidi.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And until we find out the when we're likely to get final text for the other groups. I'm not sure we can set a date for it, but setting a date somewhere around the middle of February is probably reasonable. All right. I'm late for another meeting. I thank you all. If there's anything we've forgotten that you think of later, we have a mailing list. Let's use it. And again, thank you all for your hard work on this.
Thank you.
I give you back the rest of your day. Bye-bye.
It's 2:15 in the morning.
Okay, well, and for some of us, there's an ESADT meeting later on today, I believe, or tomorrow, depending
there
on.
There is. Yep.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Take care, all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you. The meeting has been adjourned, and the audio will now be disconnected.